I've been looking forward to this conversation with my next guest. It is Dr. Erie Crawford. She is a trauma-informed social work expert, author, and a lot more going on. Her new book is titled The Other Side of Midnight, A Journey to Healing Spouses and Loved Ones Affected by Suicide. Dr. Crawford, good morning. I saw you enjoying the music. Good morning.
Yes.
And welcome.
Good morning. I was like, way to calm down the nerves. Thank you.
This is what we do here at WVON. It's good to have you join us. Talk to us about why you wrote this book and what happened with your husband.
I wrote the book because in 2019, my husband, who was a lieutenant for the Chicago Police Department as well as a minister, he lost his life to suicide. And so it was unexpected, but it wasn't unexpected because he also kind of struggled with depression. And so when I decided to write the book, it was to kind of help people who may have a loved one who struggle with depression and who have had very stressful and overwhelming jobs in a way that they don't really process things the way that they should when you're in certain fields, because you're looked upon the person with the solution instead of the person with the issue. So I decided to write The Other Side of Midnight because I saw what my husband was going through over the almost 20 years that we were married, as well as the pain of losing someone to suicide that can cause to people. So I decided to write the book to kind of help people to be able to move forward after the loss of losing a loved one. Sometimes we don't really talk about it, right? It's a taboo conversation within our community, especially for the Black community. We don't really do well with mental health disorders in our community. We kind of put it off to the side. And so for me, it was like, no more. No longer can we push this to the side. We need to bring this to the forefront. So writing The Other Side of Midnight kind of helped me to be able to talk about my experience, share some insight into who Lieutenant James Crawford was, as well as who his Reverend James Crawford was, but not just give insight into him, but also give solutions for those who's left behind after losing a loved one in such a tragic way.
Thank you so much for that. And you lost him back in 2019. This is now 6 years later.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I am doing well. God has really kept me through this process. My Christian faith has really kind of helped me to be able to process this and to be able to move forward and be comfortable and confident in being able to come out into public platforms to speak on this topic, because I just didn't want it to be a book that's set on the shelf, but a book that can be out in the world to help anyone who may be struggling with trying to process and move forward with such a loss.
Now, I mentioned at the top that you are a trauma-informed social work expert, and you said that your husband had been dealing with depression for over 20 years. Was this job related? Was this something else? Or what did you know about how he was doing?
I believe it was multiple things that contributed to his depression. Some personal, some job related with the things that he's seen on the job, as well as some things that he may have experienced in his personal life.
So when you think about what people have to deal with after a suicide, typically it's been true that unless there's a note, we really don't know what happened or what brought them to that. When you're thinking about spouses, thinking about loved ones, thinking about those who are sitting back saying, if I had done something, if I could have said something, what do you tell people who are dealing with things in that space?
So I made sure that I kind of spoke to that in the book, right? Because for me, there was no way of knowing. There's still no way of knowing why he chose to lose his life in such a tragic way. But for me, there is a way for me to move forward in hope and confidence, reimagining what life looked like. And so I try not to, and I have not kind of wrestled with that whole idea of why did he do that? Because you're right. You will never know why an individual have chosen to lose their life to suicide. And so for me, I felt like, okay, well, I'm still here, right? So what do I do to kind of move forward, to continue to live, because I have the chance to continue to live and have a hopeful life despite of the way that he have left here. And so in my effort, in my book, I try to help people to kind of reimagine what that looked like for them. Yes, it takes a moment, right? You have to be able to process. I'm a strong believer of counseling, to go through counseling to kind of help you to process all those emotions that come up, all those questions that's unanswered, because you cannot do it alone. I did not do it alone. I went into counseling because I knew in order for me to actually be able to move forward, I had to go through counseling to kind of process any questions that I may have had that couldn't get answered. But you still may need to process that with someone so you can be able to go and rebuild your life with hope.
Dr. Crawford, I have to ask, because, you know, Lana reached out, your publicist reached out soon after Officer Torres died inside the 18th police station. Does this, when these things happen, does it bring it back to your memory? Do you relive these things each time you hear of this kind of a situation occurring? What is, in fact, the emotional toll that is happening with police officers and their families that leads them to this, in your understanding?
I don't really relive it. I just instantly have a moment of compassion for the family. It becomes one of those things I'm like, oh, Lord, here we go again. How would this family be able to move forward and process this? Because, like I said, it's so unexpected. You don't really know. And so for me, my mindset goes to, what do this family need to do to be able to move forward from this chance? Because it just changes your world and changes your life. And so I kind of feel like, what can I do to help them? Because I have lived this, but my experience is different from their experience, right? And so I just have deep compassion.
We're talking with Dr. Erie Crawford. She has written a book, The Other Side of Midnight, A Journey to Healing Spouses and Loved Ones Affected by Suicide, after her husband, 61-year-old retired police officer James Crawford, committed suicide himself back in 2019. It's difficult because it does, for most of us, remind us of something that's happened. And in our community, as you know, Dr. Crawford, so often we don't believe that black people commit suicide, but in fact we do. And your book helps us to get through what it's titled, The Other Side of Midnight. It's available wherever you get your books. And as always, I encourage you to please visit your independent bookstores. They can certainly use the help. We'll have more with Dr. Crawford right after that. We are talking with Dr. Erie Crawford. She's a trauma-informed social work expert who's written a book, The Other Side of Midnight, A Journey to Healing Spouses and Loved Ones Affected by Suicide, after losing her husband, retired police officer James Crawford, to suicide back in 2019. Dr. Crawford, I should tell you that there are a couple folks here. Delcita said, thank God, Dr. Crawford, for your faith and trusting God's powers. And bless you, Dr. Crawford. Reverend Crawford was such a pleasant, fun guy. Depression is such a well-disguised infliction. Thinking of that, talk about faith and resilience and how one recovers after such a profound loss.
Well, faith is a major component of my life. And so if it was not for my faith in God, I don't really think I would have made it to the other side of midnight. And so it kind of helped me to find a peace within beyond understanding that you don't really get when you're trying to go at things on your own, right? And so when you have something that you can hold on to that can kind of help you to cross over that bridge or that hump of so much hurt and so much pain that have been caused all at once. I often tell people it was like poof, your life instantly blows up in front of you and you're trying to figure out how to pick the pieces up to put it back together. And you don't know how because the pieces are everywhere, right? They all over. So they don't fall in a unifying way when it blows up. So you have to try to figure out how to piece all that back together. So for me to be able to piece it all back together, I had to have my faith. I had to have my trust in God in order to do what I needed to do to move forward and to be able to pen this book. To kind of help other people to be able to piece their life back together after the poof, because you just don't know. And the poof is so, the explosion is huge. That's the only way I can describe it. And so when you're trying to navigate it and put it all back together, you have to have something outside of yourself, which is my faith and my faith community. And my friends and my family and so many people that held me down in that moment. If I wouldn't have had that village, but my faith in God being at the top of that village, I don't know if I could have been able to move through such a tragic experience. I mean, keep in mind, in 2020, we went into a pandemic. And so it was like I had already experienced a tsunami in 2019, and then by March of 2020, we're being told to shelter in place. What do you mean shelter in place? You know, it's like you're already in this dark space, and now you're being pushed in a greater, darker space because now you're alone. You know, and so it became one of those things where my faith and being able to have a relationship with other faith believers, be it via phone call, Zoom, whatever the case may be, was so helpful during that time because I don't know if I would have been able to make it on my own without those components and without having that faith before it even happened, my trust in God and things in that nature that all was instilled in me at such an early age kind of helped me to be able to move in that moment.
In that, I mean, and you mentioned being in this spot, in this place, having to deal with this right there in this pandemic when everyone was pushed alone. How do you support survivors of suicide loss? What's your recommendation?
I would say the best support is rally around them. A lot of times you don't really need someone to talk to you. You need someone to sit with you. It wasn't that I needed people to talk to me. I just needed people to be around me in that moment, helping me to be able to sit within my own processing, but not doing it on my own, because there's no solution or answer that an individual can actually give you in that moment. So it's just like, can you just be with me? You know, you need people to check in on you. It's a little different from when you lose your loved one, right? We all have experienced loss in our lives. And sometimes the loss is something that we are prepared for because we know our loved one is ill. No one knows that their loved one is going to one day wake up and say, I no longer want to be here. And so I'm going to lose my life to suicide. And so it takes a lot to kind of process that within yourself. And so with processing, you just need people to be around you. You need people to show you support and love and kind of keep their opinions to themselves, right? Because people have a whole lot of questions. They have a whole lot of answers, but no one really can help you. So it's like, don't ask those questions. Don't ask them, why did you think they did that? We don't know why they did it, right? So stop asking questions that no one really have answers to, because your loved one is not here to give you the checklist of why they have decided to lose their life to suicide. So it's just more so of being present. We need people to be present. We need people to be supportive. We need people to just show up.
You know, I a few years ago, several years ago now, lost my 24-year-old niece to suicide on New Year's. And as we were driving there, I called a friend. I called Alexa James of the National Association of Mental Illness just to help me get, help my family deal with this. And I recall her very vividly telling me, just to make sure you and everyone understands that there was nothing that they could do. There was nothing that they could say. There was nothing that could have been done. These are situations where people are into themselves and you really can't do anything in those circumstances. And following that with what you just shared, so important for people to know, because it does in fact happen to us. It does in fact happen in our communities, and people do need support when this happens. And you're sharing so well the support. Welcome back. We're still here with Dr. Crawford. Dr. Crawford, before we go, sorry that about what happened right then, but I was asking right before we were interrupted, are there any warning signs? Is there anything else? Is there anything that people would know or you could have known as this happened?
I will say no, but I will say that oftentimes, our loved ones, you could see a change in them. As I shared in the book, I knew something was going on. I just didn't know what. And so one would think, okay, you are a social worker. You're trauma informed, but you try not to bring your work life into your home, right? You don't want to walk around being your spouse or your partner's social worker or counselor or whatever the case may be. And so there's things that you do miss. And I tell people, if your loved one is sharing things with you or you're seeing signs of sadness in your loved ones, that you should check in with them because there's something maybe going on with them. You know, depression is a real thing, and so and anxiety and all those disorders. So if you know your loved one may be dealing with depression or anxiety or any one of those mental disorders, you may need to check in on them a little more often because, you know, depression is different from being depressed. Anxious is different from having, you know, living with anxiety. We all at some point in our life may have an episode of being depressed or being anxious about something. Those things are different from being diagnosed with a depression or with an anxiety disorder. And so when you're seeing noticeable changes in your loved one, it's okay to check in. Even if they don't want you to, it's okay to check in. And so you can't really exactly know the moment, but you can pay better attention to your loved one, because a lot of times when someone is living with depression, they living in darkness, right? They in the world alone. They could be in a room full of people and be the only one in that space because that's where their mind take them. That's where depression leads them, that no one cares. No one is around me. No one loves me. And so with me knowing his life, he struggled with depression off and on, depending on the various things that he may have experienced or even saw at work. I tried to do check-ins, but I believe in the moment it had gotten worse than I thought. And so with it getting worse than what I thought, it kind of escalated. It elevated really fast.
Yeah. Dr. Eric Crawford, her book is titled The Other Side of Midnight, A Journey to Healing Spouses and Loved Ones Affected by Suicide. Powerful book, powerful testimony here today. So sorry for your loss, but thank you so much for your book, and thank you so much for being on with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Indeed, and tune back in any time so you can dance to the music. I see how much you enjoy that.
All right. Can I share where they can purchase the book?
Absolutely.
You can purchase the book on Barnes & Noble's, Apple Book, or even Amazon. Or you can go through my personal website, ErieSCrawfordPhD.org. Thank you so much, Rufus, for this space and the opportunity to talk about such an important topic, especially for our community, because we can no longer sit in silence. We have to ring the bells around this topic.
Amen to all that. And thank you for your strength and being with us to share this.
Thank you.
Be well.